And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
How does your leg feel today?
Oh, feeling good.
What happened?
Just crap.
Just a cramp?
Yeah, just crap.
So you told me what can you eat to help you make you feel better?
Bananas.
Yeah. Why bananas?
Monkeys never craps. You know, monkey never crap. Because a monkey every day bananas. Two.
So how many did you have today?
Three. Oh, yeah. I need three banana because a monkey never claps.
Good morning, Swim World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Wednesday, March 31st. I'm J.E. Skeets rolling this morning with my Top Shot Hot Boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o.
Hey, yo.
We got the International Man of Mystery taking it to the max, jealous of all those bananas being consumed. Lee Ellis.
Friend.
Lee. And last but not least, making the magic happen, it's JD.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Please like and comment and subscribe to No Dunks on the YouTube channel. Got another show coming up later today. Yes, we are hitting the beach to do a little beach step-in. So email us in your questions and comments for the next beach step-in. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com, or you can tweet them in at NoDunksInc or leave them in the YouTube comments. But hitting the beach around 3 p.m. Eastern today. Though, Lee, word is you will not be kicking around some sand with us while we read these emails.
No, I'm getting juiced up this afternoon, getting my second Pfizer shot. So,
that's a big day.
It's a big day, the second one. So, I'm going to sit out the beach today, but I'll be thinking of you guys while I'm getting injected.
Okay, and then we'll find out how you're feeling tomorrow, too. You know, some people say the second one, you feel like a little, a little crappy there for 24 hours. But
That's what I've heard as well. The first one wasn't too bad. The sore arm, that's nothing. But apparently the second one can cause a little bit more, sort of nausea and just that uncomfortable feeling. But we'll see. Glad to get it in, though.
Are you a Pfizer man?
I'm a Marcus Pfizer man, yeah. Traded for Marcus Pfizer in fantasy. Deshaun Stevenson for Marcus Pfizer.
We consummated
the trade, and then about a week later, we both waived our players. So it wasn't exactly the biggest deal in fantasy history.
Sounds like a real NBA trade happening in that fantasy basketball league.
It was funny. It took like 3 weeks for us to get this deal done, and then we did, and then we both just waived our guys a week
incredible.
Later. Anyway.
That's incredible.
Cool story, bro.
Fair enough.
Immaculate items always available for sale. Go to nodunks.com. I see TK rocking a gorgeous sort of Warriors throwback No Dunks shirt. So go grab that. Nodunks.com. Okay, guys. We're actually going to hit the beach a little early. Lee, you are going to answer some questions because it's a little beach tease. So we have so many great questions. We'll sneak a couple in to today's show because we didn't have a lot of games to address last night, but let's tackle them here. First one, Terry Rozier scored 27 points to lead the Hornets past the Wizards, 114-104. Tough loss for my Cinderella Wizards. We'll get to that later in Pick'em. But Lee, I actually had a question off of this game because, again, Terry Rozier has been just dominating in clutch situations. He had another huge dagger to sort of end this one. And I saw people on Twitter throwing around this idea of like, would the Celtics rather have scary Terry Rozier right now than Kemba Walker, especially when you consider some of the contracts with both of these guys? What do you think about that?
It's interesting, because Kemba Walker, not only is his contract just gigantic, it's just how healthy is his knee. I think that's causing him some problems. And I think long-term, it is going to affect his game. I think in a one-game situation, I would prefer Kemba Walker right now. I think he's just a better player. Mm-hmm. But I think Terry Rozier is a different type of player. I mean, I wouldn't class Terry Rozier as a point guard either. I'd say he's one of those more sort of shooting guards, guy who can fill in as a point guard, but he's probably better off the ball. Kemba's more a point guard in the traditional sense like that. But Terry Rozier, the move from Boston to Charlotte has been really good for him. I think he's really found that role that suits him. And you talk about him in the clutch. I looked up his fourth quarter scoring. He's 12th in total points for the NBA for scoring in the fourth quarter. And that like checks out with what I've seen from the Hornets this season. He seems to do all his scoring in the first and fourth quarters. And he's big. He's 36, though, in first quarter. I thought he was going to be a little bit high. I checked it all out there. But, yeah, again, last night when they need a bucket, they go to him. And he can hit them, whether it's a three. He can drive inside. He can get to the free throw line. He's got quite a lot of variety to his game. And he's a real important factor for that Charlotte Hornets team. So I think, again, in assuming health is fine in a one-game situation, I probably think I'd still take Kemba Walker because we know he can deliver as well. But I think long-term, you're probably leaning towards Terry Rozier right now. I think he's still got a lot more growth in his game to come. And actually, I wanted to throw something at you there, Skeetsy. Let's have a little friendly wager towards the end of this season, okay? From now until the end of the season, who's going to have more points in one single game? Your man, Tim Hardaway Jr.
Oh, God.
Or my man, Terry Rozier.
Who's because you're a Terry Rozier fan now? I thought you were a Colin Sexton fan.
Yeah. I thought you were a New York Knicks fan. I'm just saying, I just think that Terry Rozier, he can get 50 in a game. I just think he can do it because he's the sort of guy who gets hot.
Yeah, he does.
You know, I can see him hitting 11 threes in a game. You know, like Tim Hardaway. So, you know, I don't know. Let's have one of your Grisham bets. I don't know what you bet. $20, $50. Who's going to have more? Doesn't matter what they've done.
I'm putting $50 on Terry Rozier or Tim Hardaway Jr. going for more points down the stretch here. I'm not that crazy.
Come on, man.
But yeah, let's make it 20. I love it. Sounds juicy enough. Yeah.
Because he's one of those guys, when he is hot, he hunts that ball down and you know what he's doing. And last night, I mean, in that fourth quarter, when it got close, he was the one that separated the Hornets from the Wizards. And, he's done it a lot this season.
Yeah, I just looked it up. I mean, Terry Rozier already had the type of game you're talking about here, really, Lee. He had 42 points against the Cavs in a loss earlier this season, and he hit 10 threes in that game. So, yeah. So there
Lee forgot about that because he was a Cavs fan.
Yeah, yeah. He's cheering on Colin Sexton in that game, probably. Yeah. What did Sexton do that game? Let me check real quick. Oh, Sexton had a beautiful 27 in that game. It was great. Okay, so we're not having to hit 50. We're just saying for the rest of the season, who will have the higher score in a game?
Yes.
You got Terry Rozier. I got Tim Hardaway Jr. All right.
Yeah, Tim Hardaway feels like he's been quieter lately, but I just know as well he's capable of doing it. He'll have 30 in the first half soon, sure. He has to. It's just whether or not he can do it for the entire game.
All right. Yeah, well, the Hornets here, Trey, are in fourth place in the Eastern Conference. Pretty amazing, especially after LaMelo Ball went down. Some of us were like, uh-oh, is that going to, like, drop them back in the standings? And, like, still 24-22. Gordon Hayward had a great game for the Hornets last night until sort of Terry took over late there. They're surprising, and they're really appearing to look like a playoff lock. I know it's still all muddled there, and you can fall very quickly from, like, fourth to ninth, but you know, you watch them and you're like, yeah, that's a playoff team in the Eastern Conference at least, right?
No doubt. This team is a lock for the playoffs. It was funny because when LaMelo Ball went out, the stats kind of said that the Hornets were going to be fine even though he went out. It definitely feels like the Hornets in the future will be better, and maybe they would have even been better during the second half of this season, just growing and gelling around LaMelo as he comes into his own. But the fact of the matter is that Gordon Hayward and Terry Rozier have both been awesome for the Hornets for the entirety of this season, and that's why they've been so good. There's a great piece on The Athletic now from Seth Partnow explaining how the Hornets have won almost double the clutch games you would expect this season. In fact, he says, across the last 10 years of play, no team has overperformed in the clutch to as great a degree as Charlotte has to this point so far this season. The Hornets are 8-16 in games that are non-clutch games. They would rather play a close game because Terry Rozier is on fire. Lee, you said he's number 12 in points. He's shooting 54% from the field, 52% from three. And the player whose game he reminds me of now is almost Kyrie Irving, because like you're saying, he can handle the ball. He can make plays when he's got the ball in his hand, but he's also a great catch and shoot player, and he's just a great second side attacker right now. Obviously Terry Rozier played with Kyrie Irving in Boston. I'm sure he took some parts of his game, because playing alongside a creator and a bigger creator in Gordon Hayward has really opened up Terry Rozier's game, and he's taken advantage of the opportunities. He's been great so far.
Well, one game that was not all that close, it was not Hornets-like, even though it appears when you see the final score that it was close, it really wasn't at all. The Nuggets crushed the Sixers last night, 104-95, final score. Sixers got back into it, but Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., really leading Denver to the victory. The other day, I said something that I wasn't sure was going to make a lot of sense when it came out of my mouth, but you guys sort of agreed with me. I said, the MVP case for Jokic actually is in the hands now of Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. And what I meant by that is, like, not trying to diminish Jokic and the numbers he's doing and how impressive he is and leading that team. It's like the Denver Nuggets got to get enough wins. And to get there, Jokic is going to do his 30, 10, and 10s, basically. But you need the Jamal Murray from the bubble. You need Michael Porter Jr. to consistently hit shots. And now Aaron Gordon in the mix. They got to get W's. And if they do, I think Jokic runs away with the MVP, if I'm being honest, if they have enough victories. Well, this was a perfect example, I thought, last night. Jamal Murray, go watch the highlights from this game. He had 30 points. I gave him whoa boy last night, despite Russ having an incredible weird line again, or impressive line. Jamal Murray, though, the highlights, Lee, were like, they were very Disney-like Jamal Murray from those couple playoff series. Like, he was just, when that guy has it going, he will take some of the most insanely difficult shots when he's feeling it, and just some crazy step backs. He had some jelly layups, behind the back passes to Jokic, so the highlights were there. And then Michael Porter Jr., 27 points, he hit 5 threes. Taz talked about him, I know, a little bit on What You Need to Know this morning, the consistency that he's sort of stringing together now. This team looks good. They were crushing Philadelphia 44-22 after one. Everybody was hitting threes. There was a couple very solid plays in the mix there, Lee. I'm not sure if you caught them, where that ball went inside the paint, got kicked out to the corners, knocked some threes down. So here's Denver. I mean, I don't know where you consider them in the legit title contenders. Maybe you always had them there. Maybe you've been convinced a little bit more with the additions, of course, of AG and JaVale McGee coming off the bench. But, God, impressive victory last night over the Sixers, who, of course, still without Embiid, but dominant performance from all their star players, really, because Jokic also had a good game.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely think they are a legit contender. It's just at times they've frustrated this season because they've had some bad performances. And it's taken them a while, particularly Jamal Murray, to get going this season. We saw that maybe there was a little bit of a bubble hangover there. Maybe he just couldn't quite get into his groove because he was nowhere near all-star conversation at all at any point, really, when we were talking about it. But he has started to get it together. And again, he's another one of those guys who, once he is feeling it, he hunts the ball down. He wants it because he knows he can score. And that's exactly what we saw down there in the bubble. So this one, you know, in the NBA, a 20-point lead at any time is never safe. But last night it actually was. Like, this one wasn't close despite what the final score said there. So I agree that it comes down to victories here for the Denver Nuggets. And where they sit right now, 29-18, I mean, that's an impressive record. But they're still a game behind the Lakers, and they're still two back of the Clippers, who dropped a wildly bad loss for the Clippers last night. So there's still some work to be done here for Denver. And again, that comes down to their consistency. They have to now, you know, beat the teams that they should beat and can't afford to drop any of those silly ones that they drop. I think they lost to the Pelicans or someone recently. I can't remember who. I remember just it was one of those home games that that is just like they can't afford to drop those when they're in such a tight race. Because I do think they need home court advantage too, come playoff time, because it does give them such an advantage. Oh, it was Toronto. It was the Raptors game last week where they got absolutely pounded. That was the one there. Anyway, that was more an aberration. They've been playing much better lately. So if Jamal Murray can keep it up, they're absolutely a contender. I think they're a very dangerous team, but they've just got to stay consistent and can't afford to be sloppy at any point. Michael Porter Jr., I mean, he is such an incredible offensive talent for them because you hear it on the broadcast. When he's shooting, you can't defend that shot. He rises up. He's so tall. He jumps high. When he's feeling it, he knocks that in. It's just, can he stay in the game mentally and can he contribute defensively?
Right.
Because I think that's still a weakness of his. It's probably improved, if you want to be generous, but not really, not enough. So he needs to be more focused on that.
Well, it's improved enough for Coach Malone to keep him on the floor. I mean, so far.
Yeah.
I know it's a regular season. We'll see if that continues in the playoffs, Trey, but yeah.
He's only got to be the second best defender amongst forwards on the Nuggets at this point. And that's a huge boon to the Nuggets because if Michael Porter Jr. is going to keep hitting the glass, I think that's really how he can contribute defensively. He is a tall guy. 12 rebounds last night. He's averaged 7 boards a game since the All-Star break. I think that's huge. You're saying it last night, Skeets, 30 for Murray, 20 for Jokic, 27 for Porter. That's 77 points right there. Mm. That's tough to beat. Murray and Porter, they're coming on strong.
Yep.
Started before the All-Star break, but since coming back, they've been even better. 21-5 for Murray. He's shooting 48%, 41 from three. MPJ's at 16 points per game, seven boards, 53-44 from the field. Jokic is playing like an MVP. The question was going to be if they can stack up enough wins. That's been the case for the Nuggets since. 8-3 since the All-Star break. Fourth best offense in the league. I think they're going to get the second seed. Because the Clippers, you know, they put together a nice little win streak. They had a setback last night. They have been playing better. But the chemistry in Denver seems to be really good right now. Mm-hmm. And they're only going to get better as they integrate Aaron Gordon into the lineup even more so right now, because they don't even know how to throw alley-oops to this guy yet. You know, he caught this one on the break. They were all celebrating it. That was not a great alley-oop in the history of Aaron Gordon alley-oops. You see it like in an All-Star game, they were trying to throw alley-oops to Zach LaVine and Zion Williamson, but they hadn't played with these guys, so the passes were ridiculous. It's a softie last night for Aaron Gordon, but he was still happy to celebrate it out there on the break. We're going to see even better highlights from this guy once they figure out where to put the ball for him.
Yeah, the Nuggets are going to finish really anywhere from second in the West to sixth in the West. I mean, you can basically lock that window in. They're chasing the two LA teams ahead of them, like you said,
Come
Trey,
on, bro. You Phoenix. Can't pick. You can't say they're a lock for one of four spots. Take a pick. Are they going to get that number two or no?
Well, I don't know with the way the Phoenix Suns keep racking up W's. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty damn impressive. I know we'll get to them in a second. They had another one last night. Yeah, put me down for a third spot. I'll say they end third, though they should. They really should end second. And the Blazers are right on their ass, too. I mean, they're like, what are they, a game behind or something like that? So it's going to be fun down the stretch here, but impressive win. And again, Jokic is winning MVP with a little help here from Murray and Porter down the stretch to get victories. And I think he will win this thing, especially with injuries to Embiid and LeBron and stuff like that. And, you know, how many people will vote for Harden? That is the real question mark. You know, if the Nets have the number one seed in the league, at least in the East, how
they've
many
got
people
it now. They're tied with Philadelphia in the East now after Philadelphia's lost there last night. So
I'm still skeptical he gets enough votes. That's just it's my opinion. We don't have a vote, so I mean, it doesn't matter to us really. But will they? Will the media? I don't know. You're hearing like you got Zach Lowe talking to Mina Kimes about it. Like there's
the buzz
just
is building.
There is the buzz for
he's almost got the reverse like sympathy narrative almost in a way that it's like, no, you can't win. You powdered your way out of Houston. Now it's like, he's being so good. He's being a good guy as well. Like, he's playing the right way. I mean,
he's a good guy.
No, I mean, I think those things, like, I'll say for me, for someone who hasn't enjoyed, you know, watching the way he plays, I've this is by far the most I've enjoyed watching him play this season. And is he playing any differently? That's the question. Rockets fans are saying, no, that's a media narrative. I'm saying as a fan, I think he is playing a different way. I think he's playing just a much more eye-pleasing style. He doesn't seem to be, you know, going around like hunting those fouls. He doesn't appear to be doing it. And he's just, the way that he's getting his teammates involved, he's not stat stuffing. He's just like orchestrating the offense so much better. And they're winning. It's fun to
watch. But I don't
think
he was stat stuffing in Houston. So that's where I'll put back.
No, not really. A little bit, not really. But it just, I think it's more about the embellishment and that sort of, you know, those fouls. That's a big part of it, I think.
That I would agree with. That feels to have been cranked down a little bit there in Brooklyn. Or maybe it was just highlighted too much when it was in Houston. I don't know which one it was. But anyway, he's in the conversation. We've said he's at the table, but I think Jokic is ordering right now. I think he is.
He is. He's in the lead, but Harden's coming for it, and Giannis is obviously keeping himself in the mix with the Bucks being good. Lee, I'm curious about seeing a couple of players that you have ties to. Facundo Campazzo straight up hitting the truck stick on Ben Simmons. He's what, a foot shorter than Ben Simmons? Down goes Ben. You think you could have taken a shot from Facundo there?
Well, they had a little bit of beef there going last night. A couple of times they sort of got tangled up there, and he's a tough little Facundo, I tell you. He runs out there. I mean, he saw Ben Simmons there, and he went right through him, and Ben was kind of appealing for the foul on his way down, you know? So
I think Ben was surprised that he had the shoulder and trucked him,
But he also didn't, like, go crazy and throw a tantrum. He's just like, all right.
He's
all right.
An Aussie. He's played a little Aussie rules.
I remember in his rookie season, I think he flattened one of the Morris twins, if I remember. And it was like, that was like an Australian rules sort of thing that he did. Like, you use your body to just, like, check the guy. And so, He was ready for it last night, but yeah, I love it. I love it. Faku's so much fun to watch. He's great. So he's a tough guy.
Those Nuggets jerseys have grown on me too, Trey.
Yeah, totally, they
pop, man, on that court. I can't remember if I liked them or disliked them or really didn't have any opinion when they came out. I know we were comparing them to the Jazz jerseys because they got the similar sort of color and gradient and stuff, but I'm a fan. I'd like to know what their record is in those so far, too. Do they play better? Because they feel like they do to me.
That's a great question. I'm loving it, too. When I was in seventh grade, the coolest guy in my school, Dustin Seuss, had a pair. Literally, wow. Dustin Seuss.
Son of a dog.
Name like that.
Yeah, his dad was an MD. Here's the guy who introduced me to I Got Five on It by the Loonies. He had a pair of Denver Nuggets shorts from the LaPhonso Ellis era, when they had their first like navy maroon gold.
Yep.
And I was like, man, if Dustin Seuss has them, these are some cool shorts. Dustin Seuss would not have uncool shorts. So I've been in on the color since then. It was weird when they came out because you're like, those look a lot like the Jazz jerseys. Exactly like you're saying, the gradient ones they had been wearing for the couple seasons previous. But seeing them now in the regular rotation, I'm loving it. There's not a lot of maroon jerseys out there, and that's a pretty cool one.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I do a lot of like the thumbnails for our shows here are because of Woboy. I'm looking at photos, so I'm in the images. I'm in Getty Images looking at all the teams. Those jerseys and the Jazz ones, they just pop, man. They look so awesome in photos, let alone watching live. So good stuff, Denver, and a really good victory there over the Sixers. All right, two other games on last night, only four in total. Suns turned away the Hawks late. They rallied, but they made it close, but Suns pulled it out, 117-110. And then the Magic did rally late in the fourth to snap the Clippers' six-game win streak, as we brought up there. So, Trey, anything from either of those two games, both of them, none of them? What do you got?
Legitimately great win from the Orlando Magic,
who
traded for two Chicago Bulls and instantly beat a winning basketball team. A stab directly in my heart. Great stuff, though, from the Magic. Held the Clippers to 45 points on 32% shooting in the second half. Clippers were coming in playing well, had won six straight games. The Magic got major, major fourth quarter contributions from, you guessed it, Wendell Carter Jr., big tip with about a minute left, and Otto Porter Jr., 8 points in the fourth quarter. And then Michael Carter Williams just kept making steals, turning them into dunks. He can barely dunk. He was barely getting the ball over the rim, but it was impressive stuff. The Magic just did a good job of mucking things up for the Clippers, forcing a whole bunch of turnovers. Great win for Orlando.
Yeah, it was a huge rally. I mean, the Clippers, man, they had their chances even late early. They they shot like it felt like three threes there. They kept getting the rebound. They're like, oh, we'll shoot another one. Couldn't hit it. Shoot another one. Yeah. Couldn't hit it. And then there was that Michael Carter Williams steal there as he went the other way and barely dunked it. But that's a tough loss for the Clippers, obviously. You know, they had a six-game win streak, as I said, snap, so it's not the biggest deal in the world. But the Magic, a gritty victory there.
I think they only led for the entire game in that last minute.
I think that's right.
Because they were down like 12-0 at the start, and so you just sort of felt like, all right, the Clippers are going to do what the Nuggets are doing to the Sixers here. But in the NBA, any team on any night can beat any other team. But it is. It's just weird.
I mean,
if you watch that game, like, there's just no real logical case you could make before the game that the Magic would win that game. The Clippers are hot. No Paul George, but otherwise, it's just like the Magic basically just blew their team up last week. They're in LA, and it's just like they're not going to do it. But they just come back. They just hung in there, and Got the W. Good on you, Orlando. Their uniforms, actually. I like their uniforms.
Yeah, you like those?
Those ones looked really cool there last night. So, anyway.
One thing from the Suns game, because I saw Ghostface Ziller bring this up in his newsletter this morning. I wanted to throw it at you guys, and I'm quoting Ziller here. Is anyone else flummoxed that the Bucks signed Torrey Craig in the offseason, didn't play him much despite being painfully shallow, and then traded him for cash to the Suns in the PJ Tucker deal, and now he's playing a crucial role for the number two team in the West? This is a crazy turn of events, right? What do you think, Lee? Because he had a good game. He had 12-8 in approximately 20 minutes last night in a victory, as we said, with the Suns. Does Ziller got a good point there? Like, Torrey Craig, we got excited when he went to Milwaukee. We saw what he did in Denver, and then he never played. And now here he is on Phoenix contributing.
It absolutely is a very valid point, because Milwaukee could use a player like that, I think. Just a guy who goes out there and hustles and can score. He sort of puts himself in the right position. And they gave him away for nothing, really, in the end, after picking him up in the offseason. So you just wonder what happened behind the scenes. He might maybe clash with somebody or what, but how Budenholzer wasn't able to find any sort of role for him really surprised me, because it's not like he's a Trevor Ariza sort of guy, like at the end of his career, you can just sort of get him and get him for some insurance backup. Mm-hmm. He can actually contribute, and he was good in Denver. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure what happened there in Milwaukee, but for Phoenix, this is a great pickup. They just need another guy who can come out there and just contribute without, you know, sort of disrupting the flow that they've got. You know who their stars are. Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and DeAndre Ayton. They're the guys who their big three are. Everyone else is sort of playing complementary roles. And Torrey Craig seems to have slotted in so far very nicely to that. So this is a great pickup just off the scrap heap for the Suns.
For cash. For the old cash considerations. Yeah. What a deal. Anything to add to the Torrey Craig point there from Ziller, TK? Nah, we'll leave it at that. He had a good game, though. And the Suns, man, can they hold on to that number two seed? That would be amazing. Incredible, incredible year. Chris Paul's going to get some of those MVP votes, right, Lily? Over Devin Booker, isn't that what you're telling me? Yeah, he will. He will get some, I think.
Yeah.
All right, little news here from yesterday. Just wild. Utah Jazz players and staff, they finally landed in Memphis last night after their plane made an emergency landing earlier that afternoon. Yeah, Delta Flight 8944, chartered plane taking the team to face the Grizzlies, struck a flock of birds as it was taking off from Salt Lake City International Airport around 1 p.m. on Tuesday. We're showing you the photos here on the stream team on YouTube of the plane. So the collision resulted in the plane's left jet engine failing, catching fire, and then the pilot made an emergency landing back at the airport without incident, which was great. So no injuries were reported, except for the birds, as everybody says. Definitely birds were injured in this. But Lee, I was reminded of your story. I'm pretty sure you shared here on one of the podcasts where you did an engine catch fire or something similar happen? You were on a flight somewhere in the world because you're the international man of mystery. What? And everybody was freaking out, right? Because it's a scary situation.
Yeah, so the engine apparently did catch fire. We couldn't see that from the plane. But when I was taking off, was flying out of Geneva. And, you know, the plane, it just sort of sucks the air and you can feel it sort of like rising up. But it just wasn't doing that. It was a slow sort of rise. And then we just kept waiting for it to like plateau, you know, to what do you call it? Even out or whatever, level out. And it just wouldn't do that, and the pilot wasn't saying anything, and you could just feel the sort of tension growing in the cabin there. And we turned around and landed, and we had to land over Lake Geneva, and it felt like we were just gliding down. Like, it didn't feel like – it felt like they turned both engines off, and we were just gliding into land. It wasn't
– You probably were, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. And then afterwards, when I was rebooking the flight to get back to London, I saw a printout that said, like, engine caught fire, and so they had to shut it down and turn around.
Somebody just left the printout lying around?
I know. One of those old printers from the 80s, you know, that a
dot matrix printer? Yeah,
exactly. Like the Carmen San Diego game. Remember how it used to, like, print out the stuff like that? And I just remember seeing it and going, man, that's crazy. So I think those jets, like, have those, you know, built-in extinguishers and whatever, and they shut it down, but then they just had one engine. But, you know, JD, maybe he knows, because I think his brother's a pilot, that if you've only got one engine.
I was going to say, we really should have booked JD's brother for this show this morning to talk about this, or our buddy Daryl, who also is a pilot. Not flying, maybe. Plane's that big, but... Yeah, JD, anything to add? I mean, I guess this happens, right? It's not the first time we've heard something like this with a flock of birds taking down a plane.
No, I think it happens more often than we realize. But it is weird to see the guts on the...
I'll say.
Yeah. That's like after the UFC, you see the fighters in the press conference and they've still got the bloody face, you know? That's the plane there, like, yeah. A tough one.
It looks like it's like cracked. Is that right? It's like really dented there.
Didn't the Oklahoma City Thunder a few years ago, you know, they flew through an ice storm or something and they had the big dent in the front of the
could be, yeah.
I gotta remember.
Sounds familiar. Yeah. Trey, have you ever been on a scary flight like Lee was on there, or like the Utah Jazz players were on?
Never an emergency landing or anything like that. I would I don't know that I would be able to keep my calm like Lee Ellis in such a scenario. But yeah, this I think JD is exactly right. This sort of thing happens more often than you would probably guess because, mm-hmm. you know, we're in the bird space. That's where they're supposed to be. We're not supposed yeah. to be flying around in a gigantic metal cylinder. But if you do want some more bird information, I got to plug a story on The Athletic. Subscribe sure. at theathletic.com/nodunks. The day Randy Johnson hit the bird when he was pitching in a preseason game, they've got an oral history on it, came out last week by Zach Buchanan. This is one of those weird just sports moments that doesn't really have to do with sports, but it happened during sports, so it's sports.
Right.
And everybody remembers it. It's really cool, and it's just a completely by chance that they even captured it on video. They talked to all these kind of guys about the stuff that they were doing during the season, what the game was like. It's a really, really great great read.
Yeah, you remember that clip, Lee? Randy
yeah,
Johnson?
Yeah, yeah.
Taking on the bird? Yeah. Didn't Dave Winfield once kill a bird, too, in a baseball game?
I think he did. In yeah. Toronto? Yeah. And didn't they charge him with cruelty to animals?
Am I crazy? Right, yeah.
That sounds right, yeah.
Gourmet Spud on Twitter yesterday was, Randy Johnson was right to hit that bird, he tweeted.
Well, speaking of Twitter, did you see all the Jazz players, like, after they turned around and landed safely? A lot of prayer emojis, a lot of thanks to God. I mean, it would be scary. I guess, Lee, you could speak to it better than we can. You didn't have Twitter back then to be tweeting away,
no,
did you?
No. It is, because you just, like I say, the pilot wasn't saying anything, and we all knew something was up. And then when they eventually said, yeah, we're going to turn around, it's not like you're down in 2 seconds. It's like half an hour later before you actually land. So you're just like, I just want to feel the tarmac. Please. So,
all right, yeah, well, everybody's
scary stuff. But I wonder, though, with one engine, you know, does that make it, you know, like tilt in a sort of direction? Like, do you have to overcompensate to make up for the lack of consistency?
Again, we should have had Daryl on. We should have had JD's brother on. I can't speak to that, Lee. I'm not sure. Yeah. I think it's I know, JD, you've talked about the engines going out more frequently than you think, too.
I mean, it does happen. And like I said, when we talked about this before, like, my brother always said, you know, the second engine will take you to your crash site faster,
right?
That's all, you know. So I think there is a lot of, you know, you're working those feet, right? Because I think that's what sort of levels you out. That's the,
right.
I don't know. We got to have the pilot on.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe for a happy
pilot
hour
talk.
Yeah, the pilot Jones. We'll do
I got a
summer.
Friend who's a pilot. I'll see if he'll come and join us.
Oh,
Brad.
Geez. All right. Yeah. Pilot happy hour.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
All right, well, let's keep our feet on the ground and let's do a little beach step and tease here. Beach Steppin' before the Beach Steppin'. The actual Beach Steppin' podcast coming later today, 3 p.m. Eastern, live on YouTube if you want to join us. But we had so many great questions, we thought we'd slip some in here. Some quickies, couple coming by way of Twitter. First one, the Bad Bulls are back, and the Raptors just lost to the Pistons. What's something outside of basketball that's been giving you a boost? Franks, flanks, and many thanks. That's from Justice. Again, by way of Twitter. Trey, rough week for our Bulls and our Raps, but what's something outside of ball giving you a boost?
Bulls lost. Michigan lost last night. Oh. The only legendary franchise that didn't let me down this week. Lewis Hamilton and Mercedes.
Oh.
Woo! That Bahrain Grand Prix was a banger. I've heard it be called the best season opening Grand Prix ever.
What?
I don't know if you watched this, Lee. I didn't know. This was a huge race, though.
Oh, yeah, I watched it. Sorry,
I know you did. Yeah,
yeah. Lee, did you watch it at all?
No, I didn't actually. I should because I think Daniel Ricciardo, the Australian, was involved in some controversy too, wasn't he? Is that right? I saw something going around about him. No, maybe not.
He was racing. I don't remember.
He was racing. He had a pretty nice race. This was great, though. It came down basically to the last 10 laps, a battle between Lewis Hamilton, Max Verstappen, some controversy. Had to learn about track limits. You know, I think I'm convinced that Lewis Hamilton went wide on turn four so that Max Verstappen would have to take the long way around. Max went way wide, had to surrender the overtake, and that was enough for Lewis. Really fun race. A lot of tire strategy. I don't know much about tire strategy, but I'm learning. Sergio Perez couldn't start his car at the beginning. He had to start last from pit row, finished fifth. McLaren lead. Danny Ric looking good. Had a nice drive, but Lando Norris was the star. P4 after starting P7. And Skeets, I know you were pumped. Yuki Tsunoda.
Oh, yeah, that's my guy.
In his first race for AlphaTauri, they needed it. Gasly didn't look good. Going to be a tight season. Lee, now's a great time to get in because, unfortunately, there's not a race until April 10th.
So
you've got a little bit of time to catch up on the Bahrain GP. You can hop in the No Dunks Discord. There's a lot of F1 fans there.
Oh, nice.
The F1 YouTube channel is great. Oh. They recently had a demonstration about like all the different things that the steering wheels can do and all the programming they got to do. I'm getting in here. I'm even following F2 this season, only via highlights.
Oh,
here's the driver I like this season. Let me look up his name. Oscar Piastri, an Australian driver for the Prima Racing team. He was great in the two sprint races. So, Lee, a lot of people are saying he's the new Daniel Ricciardo. I don't know if that's true. I just made it up, but it sounds good. It sounds
well, I'm surprised.
Good.
I'm surprised Australia hasn't had more Formula One drivers. We've had Mark Webber there for a while. I think he won one race, but Ricardo's the glamour boy right now out of Australia. But, you know, we have the Grand Prix. Usually the first Grand Prix is in Melbourne every year. I'm not sure when it's scheduled for this year, but they used to have, you know, you talk about the celebrity all-star game. They would have the celebrity race before the actual F1 race, and they would have basically a contestant winner as well would go in it. So you'd have local Australian celebrities in it. And then someone would actually win. And one year, I think the guy who just like was the ringer, he came in and won. Because you go around in like a BMW or a Mercedes-Benz or something like that. It was awesome. That would have been the one you want to get into in the celebrity, pre-tournament gig. That would have been incredible. But I remember as well because, you know, Adelaide used to have the Grand Prix until 1995. And then Melbourne took it in 96. It was a big rivalry. Adelaide people hated people from Melbourne because our government stole it. It's not a racetrack. It's like a street circuit. So they have to close off the streets just before the race or, you know, about 2 months before the race to get it all ready. But in those last couple of weeks before they close it off, everyone's just like hammering their car around the track. The police would always pick up way more people for speeding fines and driving infringements because everyone's trying to, pretend they're a race car driver.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I wish I had asked this question, Trey. What's something outside of basketball that's been giving you a DRS instead of a booster? Lee, do you have an answer?
Yeah, my coffee WhatsApp group. It's growing. God. It started as two. It started as two, added three. Now we're up to four members of the Flatberg gang on WhatsApp. We've been exchanging messages already this morning. It was popping all weekend. It's been great. There's so much.
Yeah, do me a favor, Lee. Don't send me screen grabs from your WhatsApp group about your coffee to me. I don't care, okay? I'm sorry. Just don't.
See, this is why it brings me joy because, you know, I sort of thought, I don't know who I'm going to talk to about my new coffee experiences. Now I've got a WhatsApp chat, and it's like you feel like you belong to that chat. So it's great. If you want in, I can get you in. I know some people. Everyone in the group, actually. Like, you're friends with everybody. So.
Okay. No, I'm fine with it. You guys keep talking about your coffee. I know you were getting some, maybe some tips from Nora when it comes to making your pizza dough and what you were doing right or maybe doing wrong. You got another WhatsApp chat going on that one?
Oh, I said to Nora, we need to start one. Yeah, we can. if anyone wants in, it's in. Me and Nora are the only two so far. It's really just like we're just exchanging messages, but make it a group, make it official, you know?
Well, Trey's done a lot of dough work there.
Yeah.
last year. It sounds like JD's son should be in it. Was it Lincoln that was mastering the dough? Yeah, so Maybe there's a WhatsApp group there.
Start a new podcast, call it Doughboys. JK, that's already one. I'd love to be part of a pizza chat with you because, Lee, it sounds like you need, not only do you need the help with the tips and growing your game, but I imagine that the coffee chat is only really popping off in the mornings. There's another 16 hours left in the day when people are doing things besides drinking espresso, so that's where the Doughboys come in.
Yeah, it definitely goes quieter in the afternoon, for sure, for sure. You want to fill up on your caffeine, and you don't want to be guzzling too much late in the afternoon, but that's fine. It's a good little way to get the morning started. So.
I got to know, who's the fourth member of this group? Because you said it was Jay, you said it was Zach.
Yeah,
who's? I have a guess at who it is, but who's in there? Who's the fourth?
Okay, have a guess. Have a guess.
Well, I mean, I was going to say my buddy Grish, but it almost feels too obvious because I know he at one point
was as a Toronto boy. He's played basketball. No, he's played basketball once or twice, not too often. He really, I actually learned his first name this morning. There's that. I've never ever heard anyone. He's like Kramer.
Yeah,
I've never heard anyone say, "Hey, there's Adam." You know, it's always like 30. And so, found out his name today. He's in.
Okay,
makes sense. Actually,
it does make sense. Yeah. I'm not perfect. I should have guessed him right away. Okay, our next question here. I think this was an email. This is a good one. Who is the most forgettable all-star of the 21st century? My mind immediately goes to Josh Howard, but I'm curious who you think. That's from Hank Jr. Lee. Well, you know, Josh Howard's a good one. Is there anyone else that comes to mind?
Josh Howard is a good one. I think the sort of obvious answer here is Chris Kaman, but it's almost not obvious because it's almost like everyone remembers that Chris Kaman made it. And it's like, how did Chris Kaman make it? But he was an injury replacement, I think, for Brandon Roy back in the day. So I'm going with another guy who was an injury replacement in 2007.
Okay.
If you remember this guy for the Utah Jazz, big man.
Okay. Big man.
Big man.
Wow.
I know who it is because I look at the seven. Yeah, I look at the 7 foot three, 7 foot 3 point list all the time. So Mehmet Okur.
Wow, that's a good one. That's a really good one, actually.
He was
ahead of his time.
A late replacement for Steve Nash. Came off the bench in 14 minutes. Went 2 for 2 from the field and missed both free throws. Didn't shoot a 3-pointer though. I think that was that your first. I keep forgetting. No, 2008 was your first, wasn't it?
Yeah, 2008 was my first.
Yeah. So, Mehmet Okur, an all-star.
Okay, crazy, I like that one because my mind immediately goes to, like you said, the Kaman, but then it's almost too obvious. And then Mo Williams as well always gets brought up as he was an all-star there on one of those LeBron teams. Mehmet Okur, Trey, can you do better than that? That's pretty, forgettable, if I'm being honest, when it comes to all-stars in this 21st century. Do you got anybody else?
I mean, there are so many of them. Do you remember Devin Harris being an all-star in 2009 for the New Jersey Nets?
It's a good one.
How about David Lee as an all-star over Stephen Curry in 2013 for the Golden State Warriors? That's a deep cut, I think. And one I think that we're going to forget about, it's too recent to completely forget about it because he's obviously still playing in the NBA. He's still in the mix, and part of the reason that his name comes up is that he hasn't really gotten back to his all-star self. D'Angelo Russell, an all-star in 2019, maybe the most forgettable current player who was an all-star as well. So I think it's going to be weird to look back and think about D'Angelo Russell making all those clutch shots for the Brooklyn Nets during that season when it looked like the Nets were putting together a team based around culture and everybody playing together and young guys and growing organically. Turned out to not be the case, but D'Angelo Russell, he made his case that season.
Yeah, I always, a weird one to me, and he's a good player, he's probably a better player than a lot of the guys we've even mentioned here, but Drew Holiday making it for the Sixers, right? Like, he made it in the Eastern Conference and obviously played really well in the Pelicans. Now he's back to the Eastern Conference with the Bucks, but it's just weird that he slipped in there 1 year. With the Philadelphia 76ers. I have that right? And so just a strange one. That's a great question for everybody in the stream team. Let us know. Forgettable all-stars from the 21st century. You can drop them in the YouTube comments as well. There are a lot when you start going through some of the lists and you're like, what? Oh my God. Final one here. This is great. There is a blooper from like 2008 where a loose ball bounced off of Darius Sungalia's shoulder and into the hoop. And that moment has stuck vividly in my mind for over a decade. What's an obscure play you'll always remember for no apparent reason? This is from Andrew Gutenberg by way of Twitter. I love this question. I remember what you're talking about with that weird Sangalia shoulder basket. It reminds me of a couple or two that I can never forget. I always bring up one of them, and I'll get to it in a second. But the one we had some fun with as the starters, the no-looker Trevor Booker, will, you know, for you'll just always remember
so
this.
Good.
It's so, so good. It's so hilarious the way he has to tip it over his head and shoot it like that. And it goes in so perfectly. And we, we reenacted this when we were the starters and gave it a go. And, you know, not easy to do. So that
one's amazing. Amazing.
That's an obvious one. The second one, I've definitely brought this up before on the show. I was in attendance in Toronto down at the ACC for a weird Hawks-Raptors game like back in like 07. And it's the greatest to me what-if pass of all time. Well, it's up there on the short list of like, man, if this actually was finished, it's one of the greatest passes of ever. The clip is so garbage online. It's like the, I don't know what the resolution is. It's like 24. But it is Bargnani behind-the-back bounce pass. Basically an oop attempt to Bosch, who I believe gets fouled on the play and misses. I was sitting, I snuck down, I remember this game, into the lower bowl.
Wow,
I remember exactly where I was
during
this.
Deep cut.
Yeah, and I couldn't believe this was on the internet. Somebody sent this to me the first time I brought it up a couple of years ago, that it was out there because I couldn't find it. But yeah, what a pass, Lely. I mean, behind the back.
Was that on purpose? Oop?
That's the thing.
The pass for sure. He's definitely trying to hit him with a behind the back bounce pass. Was he trying to bounce it up to the rim? Only Bargnani would know.
Oh, man, who knows? Yeah, but Bosch couldn't finish it there, unfortunately. But I remember exactly where I was in this clip. I remember going nuts that he that they nearly pulled that off. So those are two really random ones for me, obscure plays, I would say. It doesn't get much more obscure than that one.
No doubt. That's a good pull.
But you got anything, TK?
The only thing that I was going to add, because I had the no-looker Booker pretty high on my list as well, there is the play between Russell Westbrook and Damian Lillard, where Lillard's like bending over to pick the ball up off the ground, and Westbrook kicks the ball away from him, like right out of his hands.
Yeah.
That's kind of early on in their rivalry with each other. You know, they have a lot of respect for each other, but they always go really hard at each other because they're at the tops of their positions. But the reason I'll always remember it is that in like the close-up, showing Lillard and showing Russell Westbrook's foot, the starters is on the scorer's table in the background. So it's like, hopefully these guys go on and continue to build this rivalry up and up and up. And I mean, it's going to be tougher now that they're in different conferences. But if this becomes a legendary rivalry, that clip's going to live forever. And it will always say our show on the scorer's table.
It's a good one. Lee, what do you got?
Well, I've got two, actually. One you just reminded me of, that Bargnani play. It was Vince Carter on the Raptors, I think 2002. I was at a game. And it was against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And Vince goes up. And if he had dunked this, remember LeBron when he nearly dunked on Draymond Green in the 2016 finals? Remember that what if dunk that he gets fouled and LeBron goes to the free throw line and makes it, I think, a 4-point game. It was like, if he hit that, that would have been the greatest dunk of all time. Well, Vince did the same thing over Andre Miller. And I remember being there thinking like, oh my God, like, because Vince just could jump so high. And he was, it felt like, I must have had lower bowl seats. I don't know how I scored those back in those days. I had no money. But I just remember seeing him elevate and thinking like, oh my God, this is the biggest dunk I've ever seen. But he gets fouled and misses it. Right. But it is online somewhere. I'll see if I can dig it out. I have seen it on there because I remember going down a rabbit hole one day. But I also think one of the funniest bloopers is still Sam Decker, Madison Square Garden.
Oh, that's a good one.
Basically got an uncontested dunk. And not only does he stumble, but he doinks himself with the ball. Yeah. So it goes off.
That's great. That's like, really good.
Yeah. It's like it's there's just so many levels of failure in the clip.
Yeah. You know, Madison Square Garden of all places, and it's like you're here's your moment, it's coming, and then it's just like boop, boop, and it's just like everyone's laughing at him. So
that's a good one.
Sorry,
another
Sam, funny
awesome
moment.
What if dunk. Was it an Olympic game or an international game where DeRozan nearly did like a 360 dunk? Like like spun and then you're like on a guy through. Yeah, that was in a
that
international
was,
game.
Where was
that? It was definitely a national team game.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. Can't remember exactly.
Oh,
but,
God.
Yeah.
That would have been incredible if he had executed. Yeah, they were playing China, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
What year would that have been? I don't know. Anyway, Another great question for everybody in the stream team. That's a video we should do down the line. Like, what if plays deep cuts like the Bargnani pass? Throw it in the mix. But let's hear from you guys in the comments and tweet at us at NoDunkSync. Just obscure plays that have always stuck with you and you can never forget. All right, we got Tweet of the Night still, but first, a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
All right, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Lily, what do you got for us today?
Well, you mentioned off the top there, Skeeter, how I'm going for my second shot today, my Pfizer shot. So I'm going to be all vaccinated by the end of the day, my wife as well. And it's good news because right now the vaccine rollouts are going very well across the country. And some basketball teams and their players and staff and officials are all getting vaccinated, including the Oklahoma City Thunder. Mm. And today's tweet comes in from Complex Sports. Now, yesterday, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was getting vaccinated. And look, he's a little nervous about needles. Understandable. Yep. A lot of people are. And Lou Dort, his Canadian brethren there, just holding his hand while he gets that shot. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? You know, like, we don't need to make fun of anyone because some people just don't like needles. And so mm-hmm. you have a little there friend there to support you. And that's what Lou Dort is doing. So I think this is a really good message. Don't be afraid. Go there, have your shot, and you'll be feeling better. And if you need someone to help you out, get a friend who can just be there for you and hold your hand. So well done to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Lou Dort, the Oklahoma City Thunder, and the medical professionals for registering that shot there into Shai's shoulder. Bulky yes. old shoulder he's got there.
A couple things here. One, fire fit there from SGA.
Yeah.
And the Trey Kirby bun looking good on Shai. Second thing is go ahead and drop your dorts in the stream team right now.
Dort, drop your dorts.
Caps locks, exclamation mark. And there was a final thing. Oh, yeah. If you're afraid of needles, SGA, just a tip. Don't look at it, man. Look away. Yeah. It's in and out before you know it. You won't even know you even got that needle. He's taking a real long, hard stare at it. Just look away.
It's true. It's like, I'm not bad with these sort of shots because they go into the fleshy part of your arm. But when I go for your physical each year and they have to draw blood, I cannot look at the nurse when they're doing that. I'm like lying down, covering my eyes, like thinking of anything else. I hate seeing people take have blood drawn or anything like that.
Okay, but, well, there you go. Yeah, look away. But hey, more, you know, support from a friend definitely works there. I like how Dort's holding his hand there, getting him through it. So
I was just like Shai. I wanted to see that vaccine going into my body. Felt like a historic moment. Had to be a part of it, even though I was already a part of it.
That's true. I'm not saying I'm just saying, but you're not afraid of needles, I don't think, I guess.
Nah, yeah. I like them. I like them. I used to be the one who would stick needles into people's arms. Can take their blood. Still got some of it left over if you guys need any.
Sure. I could always use some more blood. I'm running thin this year. Okay, great tweet, Lili. Love it. Absolutely love it. Shout out to the OKC Thunder. Good luck with your second vaccination there later today, mate. Pick'em results brought to you by BetMGM. Well, the month of March, it's over. I went with my Cinderella Wizards last night to keep it close. All they had to do was lose by 3 or less to the Hornets. And it was looking good. I mean, it was a tight game. It was close. And as we talked about there, Terry Rozier sort of took over a little bit late. Hornets got done. Hey, Westbrook had a monster-ass dunk there on Bismack Biyombo at the end. Holy crap. Did Russ get up high on that one? That was huge. But I lost. I'm 8-11. I can't come back because there's only one game on tonight. We're not even going to pick it tonight. We're just going to take a night off with the pick'em. But I got to pay it off. Now, there's been some talk in the Slack channel about me doing the Poku dance as my payoff. I mean, I'll do it. If that's what the people want, I could try and replicate that weird, I don't even know what he's doing. I'll have to really look at it, watch the steps there. I think I can figure it out. So that's a possibility. But if you have a suggestion for me to pay it off, I finished 8-11 in the month. Tass 10-9, Trey and Lee 11-8. If you have a suggestion for my payoff, you know, drop it in the stream team, drop it in the YouTube comments, tweet it in at NoDunksInc, and we'll see what we can do as I pay off my March loss. My first loss in a long time. First loss of the season, at least. I think I dropped one last year. But yeah, get your suggestions in. We'll fire it all back up again tomorrow. All right.
Just before we go here, I think JD, I sent in the video of that Vince Carter almost dunk. I'm not sure if we've
nice,
got it
nice,
here, but
good.
Always got it.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, there's a better angle, I think, maybe.
Jesus. Yeah, JD, find a better angle if you can. No, I mean, it would have been a good dunk.
I was like. Somewhere in that like baseline area where it looked like you could just see him up in the you see how high he was up in the rafters there.
Well, there's that famous
photo.
Here it is
here.
There's that famous photo too of Vince like. Oh yeah, that would have been nasty. Yeah. Of him skying. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
I don't think he dunks it in the photo that you see everywhere. Like he looks like he is legit flying. His legs are like
he doesn't
way
dunk
up behind.
That one?
I don't think he does.
I know.
If we're talking about the same photo. Yeah. Anyway, we'll have to find that
one.
It's
like he's almost sort of holding onto the backboard.
I don't think he dunks that. I'm pretty sure he doesn't, but the photo makes it, of course, look like he does. Anyway, yeah. Vince Carter, half man, half amazing. Wow, way to find that, Lily.
I remember seeing it, so I just quickly Googled and bang, there it was.
Ah, great, 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 great. All right, well, let's call it there. Thank you so much to the stream team for joining us live. Join us again later today. 3 p.m. Eastern. We'll hit the beach to answer some more of your questions. Keep sending them in to nodunks@theathletic.com. Like, comment, subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Please help us out, guys. Guys, go grab your No Dunks merch at nodunks.com and subscribe to The Athletic. Trey already told you to, but I'll tell you again. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks, or if you're in Canada, theathletic.com/nodunkscanada. Right now, still $1 a month to sign up for new subscribers to The Athletic. And if you use those links, they know that we sent you, so you help us out as well. Great show, gentlemen. Had a blast. Lee, good luck. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, Lee, when you get your second Marcus Fizer shot, just pull up your Deshaun Sleevenson and take it in the old fleshy arm.
Embrace the day, people. You could stay.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.